ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 23 टेक्स्ट नंबर 43 एंड 44. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज ब्राह्मणास वाइव्स ब्लेस्ड. नासा द्विजाति संस्कारो न निवासो गुराव अपि न तपो नात्मा मीमांसा न शौच न क्रियाः शुभाः तथापि हे उत्तम श्लोके कृष्णे योगेश्वरेश्वरे भक्तेर दृढ़ा न चास्माका संस्काराधितात्मा अपि नाशं द्विजाति संस्कारो न निवासो गुरावपि न तप नात्ममीमांसा न शौचं न क्रिया शुभः नासं द्विजाति संस्कारो न निवासो गुरावपि न तपो नात्ममीमांसा न शौचं न क्रिया शुभः नाशं द्विजाति संस्कारो न निवासो गुरावपि न तपो नात्ममीमांसा न शौचं न क्रिया शुभः तपनात्ममीमांसा न शौचं न क्रिया Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada's disciples. These women have never undergone the purificatory rites of the twice born classes, nor have they lived as brahmacharis in the ashram of a spiritual master, nor have they executed austerities, speculated on the nature of the self, followed the formalities of cleanliness, or engaged in pious rituals. Nevertheless, they have firm devotion for Lord Krishna, whose glories are chanted by the exalted hymns of the Vedas, and who is the supreme master of all master of mystic power. We on the other hand have no such devotion for the Lord, although we have executed all these processes. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the husbands were not aware that their wives had occasionally associated with residents of Vrindavan, such as the flower ladies, and had heard about the beauty and qualities of Krishna. The Brahmanas were astonished at their wives' loving devotion for Lord Krishna, not realizing that this devotion had developed as a result of hearing and chanting about the Lord in the association of His pure devotees. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Vancha Kalpataru Vescha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare These women have never undergone the purificatory rites of the twice born classes. Nor have they lived as a brahmacharis in the ashram of a spiritual master, nor have they executed austerities, speculated on the nature of the self, followed the formalities of cleanliness or engaged in pious rituals. Nevertheless, they affirm devotion for Lord Krishna, whose glories are chanted by the exalted hymns of the Vedas, and who is the supreme master of all masters of mystic power. We, on the other hand, have no such devotion for the Lord, although we have executed all these processes. Hare Krishna. So the chapter is getting concluded and the Brahmanas are speaking to themselves, glorifying their wives about how they have no devotion, even though they have everything else. And the ladies performing their duties and had developed amazing affection for Krishna, and Sridhananda Maharaj quotes Sridhar Swami, because they would on and off here associate with the Brijvasis, and therefore they developed spontaneous attraction for Krishna. The problem with Kali Yuga is neither we have the qualities of the Brahmanas nor the qualities of women. No? So therefore it becomes more difficult. And also we see here these Brahmanas were regretting. They were regretting about their misbehavior. When Krishna's friends came to these Brahmanas, they did not even speak to Krishna's friends. They neglected. No. If somebody talks to you rudely, that's okay. You can handle it, or you talk back to them. Somebody talks to you nicely, you're happy. But somebody neglects you, that's very insulting. And these children had come on behalf of Krishna and Balaram, and they would not even look at them. So Krishna's friends felt really hurt. So you can imagine how much the Brahmanas were so self-absorbed in trying to achieve what they wanted to achieve. And they wanted their wives also to be assisting in that, and they were doing it. But when the news reached to them that Krishna is expecting some food, you know, it's like a death call. When death call comes, you don't stop. You die. You don't say, wait, when I'm die tomorrow. Like Prabhupada explains in the Gita, some rich industrialist, he was saying, that give me 4 more years. I have to open 4 more industries. No, when death call comes, you have to move out. Nobody can challenge the death. Hey, you can't come now. So similarly, this Brahmanis, when the call of Krishna came through the friends, it was a spontaneous response. They just moved there. Why? Because this affection for Krishna was not mechanically developed. They just developed it spontaneously. They didn't make it up. They didn't speak about it. They didn't talk about it. No, they didn't glorify about themselves. When the opportunities came for them to express their love for Krishna, they just didn't think. But on the other hand, these Brahmanas, we will see in the future verses, they are speaking all this. There is a strong feeling of remorse. Also, they are expressing very nicely. They began by saying that dhik tapa, that, you know, hell with our high birth. Hell with our all learning. Hell with our Brahminical culture. Hell with our all yajnas. Why? Because all this actually stopped us from serving Krishna. And they glorify their wives. Even though generally, you can imagine 5,000 years ago, that the Vedic culture was extremely, you know, followed very strictly. It is explained in the scriptures, especially in the Niti part of the scripture, that the guru, the teacher, the king, superior people should never glorify their inferior people publicly, in front of them. There is some culture behind this. We can't understand from our perspective now. There is a deep culture in that. So here, for the Brahmanas to glorify their wives openly with regret, that it's an amazing thing. And they're glorifying their wives. But unfortunately, they could not execute what the wives of the Brahmanas did. Why? Because they're still logical in their understanding. Wherever there is logic, there is no devotion. Logic is required so that we are not stupid. But when we apply logic in regards to devotion to Krishna, it always, you know, what if it does not happen like this? We end up concluding like this. Or if somebody is not at all logical and stupid and foolish, then he may try to imitate the great devotees like the Brahmanis or the gopis of Vrindavan. So ultimately, these Brahmanas, they were afraid of Kamsa. All emotions, no action is simply lamentation and despondency. And that's what we see in Kali Yuga. It is not that people don't know what is good, what is bad. Of course, many don't know, but many do. But where does it stop? It stops only in feeling. Wish I become a pure devotee. Wish I can do something. Wish I can contribute something. But the negativity is not based upon only feeling. Negativity is full of aggressive actions. The destructive energies, the animalistic propensities are not only in the mental or emotional or intellectual platform. It is very much on the physical platform. So how can we fight only on the feeling platform? Oh, this is good, I need to do. But what do I do? End up doing is what is not favorable to Krishna consciousness. So these Brahmanas were extremely remorseful, but they couldn't take the stand of following their wives, which they wanted to. It is not that they are feeling embarrassed, so how can we follow what our wives did? They had given up their pride. But they couldn't give up their fear of being persecuted by Kamsa. So therefore we see that here, these Brahmanas are speaking about all these rituals. And in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, The Lord gives the example of so many people, so many devotees, that how they achieved perfection. And all these people, all these great devotees of the Lord, socially they were not very respectable. Now we glorify the gopis, but we don't want to be gopi on a social level. Why? Because it is not very respected. No, the devotion of gopis is wanted, but their social status is not wanted. And therefore Krishna adds their name also in this list, because they are not socially so respectable people. A Brahmana is very respected, a saintly person, a sage, a sannyasi, a teacher, a king, a minister. You know, everybody wants to be that. Gopis are not respected from a physical, from a social perspective. Somebody lifting cow dung, milking the cows, selling milk in the, you know, in the land of Vrindavan or outside of Vrindavan. Very simple. It does not give you leadership qualities. It does not make you a leader in the public world. So therefore, all these names what Krishna quotes, in one sense, they are not very socially respectable people. But fortunately, they had great devotion. He gives the list of Vritrasur. Now, Vritrasur is a demon. And you don't expect good behavior from the demons. They are flesh eaters. No, they drink blood. Prabhupada explains in the 7th cant of the Bhagavatam that Hiranyakashipu would be sitting on his throne, you know, drunk, not only liquor. He would be intoxicated by drinking blood. Ramana told Mother Sita, if you don't become mine, then I will eat you in the breakfast. Just see the contrast. No. So these are the demons. So Vritrasur came from the same background, but what kind of devotion he exhibited to Krishna? So Krishna is quoting his name. Nobody wants to be called as demon, even though they may have the demonic tendencies. You know, even some of the biggest crooks, you know, politicians. No, they don't want to be called as you're a big demon. They want to be called as you're a very good politician. But here Vritrasura was born in a demonic family. Prahlad Maharaj also. Prahlad Maharaj himself explains, when he offers his prayer to Lord Narsingdev, he said, what is my background? He said, I'm afraid of my background because I'm born in a demonic family. But where do I get my confidence from? I get the confidence from the predecessor, the previous great souls like Gajendra, whom Krishna again quotes here also. So Prahlad doesn't fit into the social system. He's outcast. You know, and Krishna quotes all their names. Bali Maharaj. You know, Bali Maharaj again comes from the same family of Prahlad Maharaj. Bali Maharaj's problem was when Vamandev came to his place. Now Bali Maharaj could not even follow the etiquette of offering obeisances to Lord Vishnu, because that is very weird. You can't do that. Demons do not offer respects to anybody. They make everybody offer respect to them. There is no vancha kalpa darbhasya kripa sindhu bevacha. In the demonic kingdom it doesn't happen. So Bali Maharaj offering that obeisances to, he explains this in the concluding of this pastime of Vamandev giving him the mercy. He couldn't offer that obeisances. He had to do it only in the mind. He tells this to Vamandev, my dear Lord, when you came to my arena, I wanted to offer you obeisances, but I could not do it physically. So only within my mind I did that, and just see the result. So much result you offered to me. So then outcast. Nowadays, you know, recently His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj is telling some of the temple managers, you know, yes, there is a concept of offering obeisances to our spiritual master, our senior Vaishnavas. But nowadays in the modern world, you know, if you do it in a public place, it is taken very strangely. What are they doing? Like he quotes the example of when his father had come first time. The second time when he came and devotees did shooting and they sent the videos. And some of his relatives were watching it. And when they saw, you know, when Swamiji comes in, their relative, Radhanath Swami. And everybody is, hitting the floor. So they liked everything else. They said, what is this happens when you come in, people are kissing the floor. No? What is this? It's strange. Because people cannot understand this. So he said, one should be very careful. Don't bewilder people in the very first place only, when they come to the temple. Otherwise, it looks very sectarian, also very cultist also. So devotees has to be careful. According to time, place, circumstance, one has to act so that we do not create much bewilderment. So Bali Maharaj, he did offer obeisances to Vishnu, but not physically because his culture would not allow. So he was an outcast. And then Banasur. Now Banasur is Banasur only, He is not Mahajan. No, he did not act with Lord Krishna in a way where everybody else would act. Banasur was fighting with Lord Vishnu. And eventually, because he was connected to Bali Maharaj, he changed. Mayadana, in the Mahabharata we read, Maya was chased by Arjun. They were element which were destructive, disturbance element to the society. But some other, he offered some service to Arjun, a pure devotee of Krishna. And Krishna told Arjun, Arjun didn't want to take that service. He said, no, I don't take service from anybody, I'm a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas don't like to take anything from anybody. He said, we can only serve others. There is no bargain. I do a little bit and you do something else. So Krishna said, no, you accept it. It will come to your help. So Mayadano rendered service. Vibhishan. All these are quoted by Krishna in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. And you don't find even one name like Vashishta, Bharadaraj Rishi, Agastya Maharshi, Vishwamitra Muni, Narad Maharshi. None of their names are there. Because these are all very respectable names. They are great devotees, no doubt, 100%. But even if they are just saintly people, people will respect them. These are not called as saintly people. They are just outcast, not respectable. So when Vibhishan came to Lord Ram, there was such a discussion. Should we accept him or not? Some said he is good, some said he is bad. Some said he is, he can't change. After all, what is flowing in his body? It's a demonic blood is flowing. If he can come now, giving up his brother, what guarantee is there that he will continue with you? He's only come with a material motivation, so therefore we should not accept him. This was the Sugriv's perspective. And Hanumanji said, no, I think he's good. Hanumanji is such a typical pure devotee, Mahabhagwat. He said, he must be good, cannot be bad in him. Everybody is good in this world. This is an extreme opinion is there. Everybody is bad in this world. But Hanumanji said, he's very good. So Lord Ram said, I disagree with both of you. Neither is good or bad. And he will not change as a demon. He will continue to remain as the brother of Ravan, but I have decided to accept him. And Vibhishan had come there. Why did Lord Ram accept Vibhishan? Because Vibhishan, he was able to take that call. He came to Lord Ram, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam. Today's Rupa Goswami's disappearance. We will discuss that also a little bit. He quotes this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam. We realize that being with Ravan is not at all favorable to me. But being with Ram, there was no guarantee because he had not met with Lord Ram. Would he accept him? So that Vishwas, Rakshisitu Vishwaso, he developed before even meeting Lord Ram. So that conviction which Vibhishan developed, that was very attractive to Lord Ram. He didn't see his background. He saw that and he gave him that facility to become his devotee. Sugriv. What kind of life they had? Monkeys in Kishkinda. If you read Uttar Ramayana, it is explained that these monkeys in Kishkinda, there was no culture of whose wife is who. exchange offers were there, now which is happening in the modern, you know, progressive world, so-called progressive world. No, it is explained, verses are explained, that when Ravan and Vali, they made a friendship, you know, yagya, they said, what belongs to you is mine and what belongs to mine is yours. Putran, Dharan, you know, that your children, your wife, verses are there in the Ramayana. So Ramayana talks about, you know, the most progressive things for the monkeys, no? So then Sugriv was very, very doubtful in the beginning. He tested Lord Ram, but eventually surrendered to Lord Ram. So Lord Krishna is quoting Sugriv in the 11th canto to Uddhava. Then he quotes Hanumanji. Hanumanji himself says, he said, what kind of background we had? If you see our qualification, he said, we are nobody. But the greatness of Lord Ram, the brother of Hanuman, Lakshman, that Navakna Buddhir Nakritis Tosha Hetur. He said, neither we know how to speak, no intelligence, no culture. We are the entities from the forest dwelling, but still Lord Ram accepted us as his own people. That was his greatness, not my greatness. Hanumanji is remembering in Kim Purusha Loka the glories of Lord Ram. And this is also quoted by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. Jambavan, Gajendra, Jatayu. And then Krishna also quotes in this list the two characters. One is Tuladhar and Dharmavyad. They are not known as devotees of the Lord. You know, when I was reading 11th canto, I was intrigued that why these two people, Dharmavyad and Tuladhar, how many people know about Dharmavyad and Tuladhar? So Krishna puts them also into the categories of devotees, and Sridhar Maharaj is quoted by Rudanand Maharaj that now Dharmavyad, Vyad and Dharma, they go against each other. Somebody slaughters animal, somebody sells animal, somebody serves the flesh. Almost all the devotees who have attended the Gita class, they must have heard this, you know, this session, fourth days of lecture of Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, and whoever gives the Gita classes, you know, defining Mamsaha. One who serves, one who sells, one who cooks, one who cuts, one who transports, everybody is equally implicated in regards to flesh. So this Dharma Vyada, Krishna puts his name also in this list. So I was studying, what is this Dharma Vyada story? This Dharma Vyada, a very strange story in the Mahabharata. That there was one Kaushik Brahman. You know, typical Brahman who was studying the Vedas very nicely, very religious, very strict. Following all the rules and regulations properly, one day he was sitting underneath a tree and one small bird didn't know that should be taken care by the people who are sitting underneath the tree. You can't expect the bird to take care. So the bird, it just dropped the separated energy. So when it did that, it fell on the head of the Kaushika Rishi. And Kaushika Rishi was disturbed. And he stared at the bird, and the bird was, you know, burned to death. Now Kaushika Rishi felt actually sorry. How could I do like this? I should have not done like this. He was repenting. Oh, I killed this bird. It is not good. It is not right on my part. And then he came to beg some charity at one Brahmana's house, one family's house. And the lady said, wait, I'll bring bhiksha for you. As she went inside, meanwhile her husband came, very hungry. He said, I'm very hungry, feed me something. So then she took care of her husband, serving very nicely, very chaste, very loyal, very submissive, took care of him very nicely. In doing so, what happened? For a moment, she forgot that there is a beggar standing outside. And she remembered and she came out. You know, she begged his forgiveness, sorry that I had to take care of my husband. So this Brahman, very sensitive discussion, you know, this Brahman said, you told me to wait. I would have gone. So he was also following the order of that lady. If she had said, go ahead, he would have gone. Because she told him to wait, he had to wait. You told me to wait, but you did not give me. She said, but I was serving my husband, what can I do? You know, I realized I made a mistake, but I had to serve my husband. But you don't know, the brahmanas are superior to everybody else. So here, he became subtly influenced by his power of tapasya, burning the bird. He was repenting, but within that repentation also, there is some kind of subtle feeling of superiority of his tapasya. Just see, sometimes there are two kinds of conflicting consciousness. We feel good also, and we feel bad also. Depending upon what is the surrounding, those emotions, they actually surface. So when he was with the bird, he was repenting, but when he was with this lady, he became very angry, upset, that she made him wait, and serving her husband, even though she was not serving the sage. So then this lady said, don't stare at me. I'm not that bird. So he was shocked. He said, how does she know that I burned the bird? You know, there was no internet where everything goes so fast. You know? Something happens somewhere, then the whole world comes to know. Right? You know, the announcement in Krishna Balaram temple is known to somewhere in, you know, Florida also, so fast. So then she said, how do you know? She said, this is only because of my serving my husband, taking care of him. And Markandeya Rishi is telling this story to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And very interesting point, he says to Yudhishthir, that my dear Yudhishthir, such women who are loyal, dedicated, devotional, they should be respected as much as one respects one spiritual master. It's easy to respect spiritual master. Why? Because it's an official position. No, it is easier to serve the sadhus. But it is difficult to treat somebody, you know, who is there in your own home only. So this is what he tells to Markandeya Yudhishthira Maharaj. So then she says, if you want to actually understand what dharma is, then you go to Mithila, there is this one dharma vyad, and he will let you know what exactly dharma is. Now this brahmana, sometime, you know, we hear from the pseudo-intellectuals of those who study Vedic literature that India was very casteist. The Indian religion was very casteist. The brahmanas were very arrogant. But there is a great flexibility in regards to how to get knowledge. Now this brahmana is hearing from her, and when he heard and saw personally the power of this lady, no, he was willing to go to that place to learn. From whom? From a dharma vyad, from a butcher. To go and learn from a butcher, what do you learn from a butcher? You can't learn anything. He took a trouble of going to Mithila, and he saw this butcher is selling. What does he sell? He sell the pig's flesh, he's selling the buffalo's flesh. He's selling that. And he was quite... I said, my God, how can I go there? You know, it's obnoxious. A brahmana who would never do any wrong in his life, he couldn't take that stench. So this dharma vyad comes to him. He said, I know you have come and this lady has sent you. He said, be comfortable. This is not the right place for you to hear, you know, dharma. I will take you to my home. And this brahmana did go to the house of a butcher. So, we see our scripture, wherever there is a knowledge, Chanakya Pandit also explains it, Prabhupada repeatedly quotes, that wherever the knowledge comes from, one should take it. One should accept gold from the garbage also. Very flexible, very dynamic in regards to this. So this butcher, after completing his job, he took him to his place and offered whatever, you know, Argya, Madhupar, Kachban, he could offer. And they discussed. So this Vyada said, I never kill living entities. I practice the principle of non-violence, dharma. But then this Brahmana said, but how is that you are selling this flesh? How can you do like this? You know, it goes against the principle of non-violence. So Dharma Vyada explained to him, this is caused by my own previous karma. I am forced to be born in this family. And this is my swadharma. I cannot give up my swadharma. Now we cannot understand this from our present perspective. That how can somebody be a butcher and continue to be a butcher, basically a meat seller, and not give up that activities? If somebody like Krishna is quoting to Uddhav the story of Dharma Vyad, who is selling meat, so one may say, that means, you know, we can take any job. Sell liquor, sell meat, sell this, sell that. No, taking job and having swadharma, they are two different things. In Kali Yuga, in modern times, people take job because there is big money, not because it is their swadharma. So there is a big difference. So in swadharma, you make money or you may not make money. But your attachment, your loyalty is to swadharma. And practicing that dharma, one is confident that everything will be taken care. So it doesn't fall into the category of, you know, what people do now. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in regards to Rupa Goswami, when Rupa Goswami and Sanatan, they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they compared themselves to, you know, they were comparing with Jagai Madai. And they said, actually Jagai Madai is what sinful activities they perform. You know, they were sinful, but at the same time they were very fortunate because they stayed in Navadvip. They were born in a Brahmin family. They performed little sinful activities here and there. Not little. No. Somebody is laughing there. You know, they did amazingly horrible sinful activities. But what Rupa and Sanatan say, very interestingly, they said, but they never worked under any mlecha. They never worked under anybody. And Prabhupada gives an elaborate commentary. He said, from Rupa Sanatan's perspective, working for someone who passes the bill for slaughtering of the animals, without opposing, he says, he quotes the example of Brahmanas are working in the government job, you know, and they're passing this bill, which is very sinful and they don't oppose it. And that's what Rupa and Sanatan Goswami considered to be more sinful than what Jagai Madai did. And that is the criteria, that is the standard. Very sinful activity. So here the swadharma of the Dharma Vyaj, because he was forced by his own karma, but even while doing that, just see, he is talking about the dynamics of purity. He is selling it, but still is able to maintain his purity. Never eating and never cutting, but only selling. He said, what can I do? Because my previous life I was cursed by some sage, and that is what Sridhar Maharaj quotes, that he was a saintly person, and that association made this Dharma Vyad what he was. Completely dedicated to his profession, not being attached to it. And if you study Bhagavad Gita, the entire Bhagavad Gita talks about not giving up things, but rather giving up attachment. Giving up things and doing things, they are two extremes. When we do things, we become attached. When we give up things, there is at least superficial detachment. But what is required according to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita? Being involved but not getting attached. That is the art of living. It is easier, you know, for some people to just quit their responsibilities and go to a holy place and stay there. Life is easier, at least superficially. But what is expected in our Vedic literature, and in fact, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, in the very first place this question is raised, how, if they knew, and Rupa Sanatan, it is not that their life was bad. It is not that they were sinful like Nawab Hussain Shah. It is not that they indulge in sinful activities along with Nawab Hussain Shah. No, their sinful activities was only in connection to working for Nawab Hussain Shah. In fact, it is explained that while working for Nawab Hussain Shah, Sanatan Goswami created a very beautiful replica of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami, while working for Nawab Hussain Shah, had already compiled so many Vedic literatures, including a book called Hamsaduta. So their life was extremely pure. But then why did they work for others? They worked for Nawab Hussain Shah because Nawab Hussain Shah threatened Rup and Sanatan Goswami. He realized, they're very expert in certain activities. He said, if you don't work for me, not only I will kill you, but I will kill the entire Hindu community. I'll destroy the Brahminical culture. I'll spoil your temples. So better you work for me. If you work for me, then I'll give you a lot of remuneration. So they became afraid of the community's, you know, stability. Now just see, this is how the practical world is. In their own Krishna consciousness, they should have said, hell with others, who cares? You know, we will go to Vrindavan and practice our devotional life. You know, what happens to others, it is none of my business. But they had to accept this proposal that let us work. Let us become sinful. So that others can practice their spirituality. Very interesting. You know, and then they worked for many years. They would give proper guidance to Nawab Hussain Shah. There they were very, very honest in giving guidance. Where to go and attack, which king. No, they allowed Nawab Hussain Shah to become a big looter. Basically, Sanatan Goswami calls him a daku only. No? He goes, he's a king, but what does he do? In fact, Nawab Hussain Shah himself tells Sanatan Goswami. He said, I am like a butcher going around killing everybody. You know, if you don't take care of this kingdom, you know, how will I conquer and rule this kingdom? So they were forced to do. Why? Because they were doing it for maintaining the community. But when they got the opportunity where they knew now the disturbance will not come, if something comes, it will only come to us, they actually renounced the work of Nawab Hussain Shah. And then they came to Vrindavan to meet, to be with, you know, to follow the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So similarly, Dharmavyad, here, he had no other choice than to work. And he did that work in such an honest way, you know, saying to this Brahmana, and Brahmana was quite amazed by his activity, and he learned many things, and he went back to his place. And Krishna also speaks the story of Tuladhar. Tuladhar means Tula, one whose Aadhar is Tula. That means he was a businessman. No? Same, almost like the same story that there was a Vaishya in Banaras, very loyal, very honest, doing his business, selling whatever he could sell. There was a Jajali Rishi. You know, he was performing tapasya, and one day two small birds came. While he was performing tapasya, you know, he had long jata, and these birds took shelter in his jata, and they made a nest. Something like what Maharaj mentioned in his journey home. No? So he stood there, oh, I cannot move because these birds have taken shelter of me. And they took shelter in their husband and wife, and basically they made that into their home. You know, they used the principle of dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamasmi bharatar shabha. You know, they procreated there. And then he said, my God, they are here now, how can I move? And the birds, you know, the eggs, you know, they moved in, they turned into birds and they stayed there. They go out and they would come after a few days. He would wait there. He would not move. So he became so dedicated serving these birds while doing his meditation, not moving so that he would not disturb the birds. He became like a pillar. And eventually he came to a water body to take bath, and he was thinking, I am such a dharmatma. There is no dharmatma as I am in this world. And unfortunately he spoke a little louder. No? When he said that, somebody told him, no, you are not the biggest dharmatma. Go to this Tuladhar and he'll give you the knowledge. And this proud Brahmana who had performed this tapasya had the patience, you know, to allow the birds to have nest on his hair. He came to here. Again, that shows the submissiveness. He came and he had heard from Tuladhar, and Tuladhar again, he said, I sell everything but liquor. I don't serve flesh. I do business properly, do my duty properly, keeping God in the center. And Krishna quotes, he quotes, then Kubja, then Gopis, then the wives of Brahmanis in this 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we see all these people, apparently they had no social status, but they had devotion for Krishna. And because their devotion for Krishna, what happened? They became the history where Krishna could quote their names. Therefore, for us, what Prabhupada teaches, you know, he taught his followers that what is swadharma for us? No, which kind of profession we are supposed to take? Then the principle of anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam applies. Something like Vibhishan, wherein Vibhishan had to choose what is good for my spiritual life, what is beneficial for my spiritual life, what is beneficial for me to live a life which is wholesome, which helps me to advance in Krishna consciousness. Now we may not exactly follow what Tuladhar or Dharmavyad could do, but at least the overall principle is there of practicing Krishna consciousness, doing those things which are favorable to Krishna consciousness. So therefore these Brahmanis were extremely fortunate. Why? Because with all the rituals one does and does not develop love for Krishna, all the rituals are useless. In Kali Yuga, as we were discussing in the beginning, we don't have the capacity to perform what these Brahmanas are doing. And nor there is affectionate heart for Krishna. But developing affection for Krishna is possible, as Sridhar Maharaj explains, by regularly hearing, associating with devotees of the Lord, hearing Harikatha, you know, chanting the holy names of the Lord, and actually rendering devotional service to Krishna, even though mechanically, eventually that affection will develop. And that is what Rupa Goswami wrote the book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, how Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami's life, if we study in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila part 1, you know, Rupa Goswami being the actual founder of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, he was chosen by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitamena Bhutale. That story is there when Rupa Goswami had come to Jagannath Puri, and when Mahaprabhu chanted some mundane song, something like film song, you know, and Rupa Goswami could understand what is the essence of that song, and he compiled a purport to that song, and he tucked into the small hut of Haridas Thakur. When Mahaprabhu came after taking his bath, when he saw the handwriting itself, you can imagine handwriting. Now nobody uses hands only, uses fingers, right? And nobody writes properly. You know, in Kali Yuga, you slaughter everything. You slaughter the language also. And where is the question of handwriting? Writing nicely. So even in the handwriting, Mahaprabhu was so fascinated. He could see Krishna there. And when he read the content of the verse, now Mahaprabhu, you know, only two people got slapped from him. One is Balabhadra Bhattacharya and Rupa Goswami. Balabhadra Bhattacharya got because, you know, he was acting little strange, calling ordinary people to Krishna and Krishna to ordinary people. And Rupa Goswami got the slap out of affection. And Mahaprabhu made him sit on his lap and he asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, how is that Rupa Goswami has understood my heart? How is it possible? Then Swarup Damodar Goswami said, because he has received your special mercy. And therefore Kaviraj Goswami explains, Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale. And Prabhupada also write there that same thing happened with us also. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that verse about, you know, his Vyas Puja, you know, he said, yes, whatever he writes, he should print without editing. Otherwise, the editors will, you know, edit everything. So he said, print without editing. So Rupa Goswami was specially, you know, he understood the heart of Mahaprabhu and he was chosen by Lord Chaitanya to establish the Vaishnava Siddhanta. But their entire transformation from being what they were, and the Goswamis of Vrindavan, you know, their consciousness in the Madhya Lila part, chapter number 1, the description is there how they meet. And I remember many years back, some of our brahmacharis did this drama on the deliverance of Rupa and Sanatan. And those who are acting at Rupa and Sanatan, simply reciting those verses, you know, they couldn't cry in the drama itself because they became very conscious. But in the practice, they are continuously weeping tears because these verses are very beautiful. Now, Rupa and Sanatan, they were so big. Now, they chose to go to Mahaprabhu. Nowadays, you know, those who are really big have such a big false ego, you know, sadhus have to go to them. No. And Prabodhananda Saraswati also mentions, you know, sometimes you have to go, what can be done? Holding a straw in your teeth. Now, Rupa and Sanatan were holding a straw in their teeth. They were such a powerful ministers. So sometimes the preachers have to do that. You know, they have to hold the teeth and they have to go, you know, reverse role. You know, like Mahaprabhu holding the grass in his mouth and going to Rupa Sanatan. So here, but the real culture is that they chose to go. And how did they go? Rupa and Sanatan did not go in their gorgeous ministerial, you know, dress. They went as an ordinary beggars and in a seclusion. And when they approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, from a distant, you know, the entire culture, if you study that entire chapter, in a distant they offered their obeisances. They did not go close. You know, where we storm in, our Brajbihari Prabhu, who was to live in Vrindavan, he would say, when devotees come to Yatra in Vrindavan from different places, they want to see Krishna Balram, they want to see Radha Shyam Sundar. And what do? We storm in like a mad elephant, you know, trampling upon everybody else. You know, that I need to see Krishna. But here Rupa and Sanatana are setting such a beautiful culture. They stood far away from Mahaprabhu and they fell flat holding a straw in their teeth. And the prayers what they offer, very beautiful prayers. They say, if you see our own qualification, there is no qualification within us. But we have heard about your mercy. And because we have heard about your mercy, that we have developed this great longing that our desires will be fulfilled. Otherwise, our efforts to achieve Krishna is like a dwarf trying to touch a moon. What dwarf? Even if you are 7 feet, you can't touch. No? So dwarf trying to, you know, touch moon, it is not possible. But we have heard about you. Therefore, we have developed this great desire. And if you want to prove about your mercy, if people need to know that you are really merciful, then you cannot find any fit recipient. Now, this is not artificial. Again, this is like the Brahmanis only, you know, spontaneously being attracted. They said, you can't find more fit candidate than us. Otherwise, you lose this opportunity, being called as the greatest merciful incarnation. You don't lose this opportunity. And we are here. We are the most fit candidates. Na matyulyo nasti papatman, na pradicha kashchana. He said, we are the greatest sinful, the greatest offenders, and we have given up our shame, and we have come to you. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually gave them the mercy. And he told all other devotees to give their mercy to them. And after receiving their mercy, and before that Lord Chaitanya told, you know, stop your humility. You know, I like this very much. Even though we are not able to practice that, he said, stop this, it breaks my heart. No, we break our guru's heart because of false ego. No? He has to say, stop, you know. Here, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa and Sanatan, stop your humility, it breaks my heart. And that the power they had, they actually broke the heart of Mahaprabhu by exhibiting such humility. And in their entire life, Rupa and Sanatan, even though they were appointed as the carriers of Mahaprabhu's mission, in fact, Rupa and Sanatan became the acharyas of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But even after they became great devotees, when they came to Mahaprabhu to meet in Jagannath Puri, their disposition is so beautiful. Always staying in the background. Not presenting. When they compiled something, Rupa Goswami compiled Lalit Madhav and Vidag Madhav. And when this compilation was read in the public, Rupa Goswami would not want to, you know, Ramanand Roy and Sarup Damodar Goswami had to force. They were very embarrassed to present because it was so beautiful. Nobody had compiled like that. And they didn't want to be exceptionally best. No, we are the best and we want to prove. In fact, Sanatana Goswami wanted to put his body underneath the Ratha cart, thinking that I am so fallen. And how long they stayed with Mahaprabhu? Just few months. You know, 10 months in Jagannath Puri, 2 months in Banaras, and then few days in Vrindavan, as long as Mahaprabhu stayed. And they established. And Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Rupa Goswami compiled many literatures, but one of the main literature he quotes about Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the science of bhakti. And Srinivas Acharya explains, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno, Saddharma Samstapako. That churning from all the scripture, if you read the Upadeshamrit, Vacho Vegam, Manasa, Krodha Vegam, and then the other verse which talks about six kind of loving exchanges, these verses are not actually made by Rupa Goswami. He took it from different scriptures. Now this verse of six kind of loving exchanges, this is from the Niti Shastra, conversation between the crocodile and the monkey in the Pancharatna. That is, he took from there. He churned from all the scripture and he actually proved that everything is centered around Krishna. Like the Rupa Goswami talks about the rasa tattva, the all kinds of 12 kinds of rasas. You know, these rasas you don't read in the Bhagavatam, you don't read them. It is not defined as a rasa. But this was spoken by Bharat Muni, the great dramatist. And Rupa Goswami picked up from there. But what Bharat Muni did was, he spoke about rasa, but without the king of the rasa, Krishna. Drama is there, but Krishna is not there. No? So therefore, Rupa Goswami took that, and again reconnected it to the Vedic concept, that everything what originates from the Vedas has to be connected to Krishna. And the Vedas talk about raso vaisaha. The Krishna is the emporia of all the rasas. And in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, very elaborately, he explained the rasas. And he explained the definition of devotional service. He said that the essence of all rules and regulations, whatever rules we follow, you know, whatever rules we execute in our life, is all connected to, you know, remembering Krishna and not forgetting Krishna. That is the essence of all rule. And he says all other rules are the subservient to this rule. And Rupa Goswami taught the principle of Krishna consciousness in such a way that utility is the principle. Yukta Vairagya, he taught that. Such a beautiful concept. That wherever you are, whatever you do, but some or other, by some means. And what is that by some means? That practicing the concept of these five limbs of bhakti, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deities, visiting the holy places, you know, associating with the devotees, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. One can do it in any place, in any background, whatever one's profession is. One can do that. And Rupa Goswami quoted this. And he quoted Anukulyasya Sankalpa. He quoted Yukta Vairagya. He quoted about Falgu Vairagya. Falgu Vairagya is giving up something can be used in Krishna service. So they expanded the concept of devotional service to Krishna, Rupa Goswami, and slowly, you know, established this concept. And this became the source of Prabhupada's preaching mission. Therefore he says, in many places, without the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and especially Rupa and Sanatan, you know, one cannot establish anything. And therefore we should offer our respect to Srila Rupa Goswami on his disappearance day. That, you know, we also learn the art of using everything in Krishna's service. And develop real affection for Krishna by the process of bhakti. And engage everything in Krishna's service. And eventually achieve perfection when Krishna desires. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Anything related to this class?
Okay. As you said that asuras were blood drinkers, but Bhim also did that in Mahabharat battle. So what would you like to comment on this?
You're a lawyer? No?
No, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a medical transcriptionist. Okay.
No, Bhima did not drink. Only he acted. He did a drama to scare everybody. And when actually this is explained in the... When Gandhari asked, how could you do that? You know, how could you drink the blood? And not only he was acting as drinking blood, he said, when he was doing that, he said, I have drunk the milk of my mother. I have drunk different kinds of nectar. I have drunk fruit juice. All kinds of soup. But nothing as tasty as the blood of Dushyasana. But then he told Gandhari in the conclusion of Mahabharata, he said, I never did that. You know, the blood did not go beyond my teeth. I just wanted to fulfill my vow and act to show, you know, that how angry I was. Naturally, Bhima did not drink blood. He did not even eat meat, nowhere in the Mahabharata. At least when my reading has never given any verses where it is said that he ever ate meat. Of course, Prabhupada says he did. Among the Pandavas, he said Bhima ate and others did not. It doesn't matter, Bhima can digest anything. No, karmically and digestion wise also. Somebody came and told Prabhupada, you know, we have heard that Ram ate flesh when he was in forest. You know, we may say, no, he never ate. You know, we would argue back and forth. He said he's God. He can eat fire. What to speak of flesh? So one has to understand, you know, what rule applies to whom. For us, the rule is very clear. That we are not supposed to eat what is not offered to Krishna. That also we cannot digest. You know, what to speak of eating flesh, which cannot be offered to Krishna. But there are people who can do that and still be a devotee of Krishna. So, one should not apply one's law to somebody else. Arre, Vishwarup Krishna was consuming everybody. That he says, everybody except you, 5 Pandavas are going in my mouth like a pickle. No? So that you can't say, how Krishna is breaking the 4 regulative principle. No. 4 regulative principle is for you and me, not for Krishna. No. He can digest it. If he can digest, then you can do anything. You know, we can't even digest milk. What to speak of, you know, the cow's flesh, even physically and from a karmic perspective. So, you know, one has to see that rules are applied to different people in a different way. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Rupa Goswami ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.